Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, we continue with our Friday series on hard passages. And Bob and friends, we all have them. There are some verses that, we just don't know how to interpret. We don't understand. Then there are others that, even though we have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have received His life in us, when we read them, a cold chill runs down our backs. Well, today we're going to be taking a hard look at two passages in Romans and one in the book of James. So, Bob, over to you.
Well, thanks, Bob. Our first hard passage today is Romans 3:31. And here's what Romans 3:31 says. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. Now, the reason this is a hard or difficult passage is what Paul is saying about the law. It seems like, on the surface, that he's saying that we still, as believers, have a relationship with the law. It's still up to us to live up to those righteous requirements. So is that what Paul is talking about in this particular passage? And the answer to that is a resounding no. And to really uncover that, I think we have to take a close look at the context. Context is so vitally important. Sure. With all of these hard passages. If we just pull them out and try to figure it out just by looking at that verse, it's going to be a very difficult task for us. But if we put it back into the context, see exactly what Paul is saying all around this particular verse, then I think it's going to become clear to us exactly what it means when he says, no, we should uphold the law. So first, the context. Well, in verse 9 of this particular chapter, Paul has already made the statement that all are under sin, both Jew and Gentile. So all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, that's just truth, and we need to know that before we can come to Christ for salvation. The next part of this context is in verse 20, and Paul gives us the purpose of the law. Why in the world did God give the law in the first place? Now, that's a question that many of us ask. If we're justified by faith in Jesus Christ, why the law? Why did you give it? Well, it had a purpose, and that purpose was to identify sin, to shut our mouths, make us accountable to God, and to know that we had transgressed the law. That's the purpose of the law. So that's part of this context. So what is the purpose of the law? Based on verse 20, it says, for by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. So all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's truth. That's universal truth. We need to know that. And the law gives us that knowledge. The law gives us the knowledge of sin. Then the next part of the context is the fact that righteousness comes to us through faith. That righteousness is not something that we can earn through human effort. It's not something that we can earn through the works of the law. No, it is a gift that comes to us by faith. So righteousness is through faith. And then the fourth thing that I want to say as far as context is this, and it comes to us from verse 26 of Romans chapter 3, and it says that God is both just and the justifier. So in his act in Christ Jesus, the fact that Jesus shed his blood, propitiation was made through that shed blood of Jesus Christ, that enables God to be both just, he fulfills the righteous requirements of the law, and then to those who respond to this gospel message by faith, he is the justifier. Based on the finished work of Christ, he justifies those who come to him by faith. So God is both just and the justifier. So that's the context of this particular passage. Now, some of the key words in this verse, and I think if we look at these, we'll get a clue as to what Paul is saying as well. The first one out of the verse is overthrow. So do we then overthrow the law by this faith? Some versions say to make void or put an end to, and that's what the word means. It means to render inactive, to make idle, to make useless or to make ineffective. In some places in the New Testament, this word is used in the context of to destroy. Do we destroy the law through this faith, by this faith? So that's the first key word, overthrow. It means to render inactive, to make ineffective, to put an end to make without effect. And Paul's answer to that question, is by no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. So the second word that we want to look at is this word uphold. In some versions, it's rendered establish. So it means to cause to stand or to place, to establish or confirm something. So do we overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold it. We establish it. In other words, we are saying that the law had a purpose, and that purpose was satisfied or fulfilled in us. The moment that we realized that we were sinners and turned to Christ by faith, the law's purpose was fulfilled in us. And that response of faith to the finished work of Christ is our way of saying that we uphold the purpose of the law. So everyone who turns to Christ by faith and receives that gift of righteousness by faith is making a statement, is making a declaration that they are upholding the purpose of the law. They realize that they were sinners through the work of the law. And once they realize that, they turn to Christ by faith. So in that declaration of faith, we are establishing or confirming the purpose of the law. It met its purpose in us. Now that's good news. So in that sense, the law was a part of God's plan to bring us to that point where we knew that we needed a Savior. Now these verbs, to overthrow and uphold, they're present tense, they're indicative, they're active. So it's happening now, it's an assertion of fact, and we are making the assertion that God's law had a purpose, and that purpose was good, and when that purpose was fulfilled in us, it turned us to Christ so that we would receive righteousness by faith, and we could recognize that God is both just and the justifier. So does the believer have a relationship with the law? Absolutely not. As a believer, we are no longer under the law. The law, sin is not our master because we're not under law, but under grace. We've been freed from the law of sin and death. So as believers, we no longer have a relationship. It's not a part of this new life that we live, but it had a purpose to bring us to that point where we could experience this new life in Christ. And so we uphold that purpose, and we pray that that purpose will be fulfilled in others' lives so that they too can come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So you do not have a relationship with the law, yet the law had a purpose. You do not put an end to that purpose. We establish that purpose and put it in its proper place.
That's a good place for it.
Yes, indeed.
Thanks, Bob, for that insightful thought. And friends, it is Hard Passages on this edition of Basic Gospel. And we'll be taking a look in just a moment at Romans 4:15. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn there, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But friends, we only have 14 days before the end of our fiscal year. And to be honest, we're facing what looks like a mountain standing between us and the amount we need to pay the bills by the 30th of this month. Does Basic Gospel mean anything to you? Are your questions being answered? Are your fears evaporating in the face of the truth that you hear each day on this radio program? Well, if so, we need you to come alongside of us and partner with us to keep the good news on the air, to reach others who need to hear the truth, just like you did. Please go to basicgospel.net and click donate. Or call, your gift is available, that number is available, 844-322-2742 to make your gift anytime, 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742. Now here's some exciting news. We have just gotten word that the matching gift that we've been talking about this week, Wow, it has gone way up. We have now received $30,000 in challenge grants for the month of June, and this means that your gift will have double the impact when you help us meet our fiscal year-end goal of $130,000. Now, every dollar that you give will be matched, and your gift will impact lives. And as we consider these hard passages, maybe that life will be your own all over again. But we need your partnership, friends. Our fiscal year-end is only 2 weeks away, and we have a long way to go, so please, visit BasicGospel.net and click Donate, or call with your gift. The number is 844-322-2742. Do what you can, and we'll leave the rest to the Lord. And by the way, to say thanks for your gift, we're going to send you our new DVD called The Real You.
Well, Bob, thanks. I hope so many people will join that challenge, will take that challenge and step up and give a gift to Basic Gospel. We certainly want you to join with us in what God is doing through this particular outreach.
Yeah.
Well, our second hard passage of the day is Romans 4:15, and it reads this way, "For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression." Well, what makes this a difficult passage is the fact that it seems to be saying that if there is no law, then there's no transgression. There's no such thing as sin. And I've certainly seen a lot of people over my 35 years in ministry that have really taken this particular verse, interpreted it wrongly, and have used it to justify a sinful way of life. They say we're no longer under the law. God has taken the law away, has freed us from the law, so that any action that I now do is not considered sin. It was sin before I knew Christ, but now that I'm not under the law, it's not sinful at all. Well, that is just a bad interpretation.
Yeah.
That is just justifying a sinful lifestyle, and that's not what the verse is saying at all. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. So what is the context? The context is this, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Paul even says in Romans chapter 5 that sin existed before the law even came into being. Sin was in the world before God gave the law to Moses. Sin was in the garden. We saw that. And Adam and Eve decided they wanted to exchange the truth of God for the lie of Satan. They wanted to be independent of God. That was what sin was all about. And we're going to learn a little bit more about the content, the character of that particular sin. But so the context here is that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The second aspect of this context is this. Paul is talking about works and faith. We see that in verses 4 and 5 of Romans chapter 4. The one who works, his wages are due to him. But the one who believes, the one who trusts, God who justifies the ungodly, he receives the gift of righteousness. So there's one who works, there's one who trusts. And then the fourth part of the context of this particular passage is God's promise to Abraham. Now, this promise to Abraham that he was going to be the father of many nations, that the world was going to be blessed through his seed, was a promise not based on law. It was just based on God's faithfulness to deliver on that particular promise. So everything is about by grace through faith in Jesus. That's how our salvation comes about. It does not come about through works of the law. As a matter of fact, the works of the law are going to bring about wrath. And that's exactly what this verse says. So the key word here is works. In verse 15, it says this, that for the law brings wrath. That word brings is a word that means to work out, to bring about, to accomplish, to carry out a task until it's finished. So the law has rules, it has regulations, but it also has punishment.
Yeah.
So if we're under the law and we're trying to live up to the righteous standards of the law, and yet we fail, the law doesn't complete its work until the punishment phase. We see that in our judicial system today. If somebody is found guilty, the next phase of the law is the sentencing phase. What is the punishment? And that's true with law as far as the Word of God is concerned. It brings about wrath. It produces. It's the author of it. So the law brings about wrath. Now, the next key word is the word wrath. And it's an interesting word. It comes from a word that means to covet after or desire. And in this particular context, it really reflects a state of mind that is filled with anger. It's a desire that also has with it a sense of grief. So when it says that God's wrath, or where it brings about wrath, what it's saying, it's God's abhorrence of sin, but mixed in with that is a longing that God has for those who live in it. God is not pleased with those who are in sin. He has sent Jesus to free them, to rescue them from that condemnation of the law. And then it also means punishment. And so that's what this wrath is all about, that eventually if somebody rejects the offer of life, then they're going to stand condemned eternally and suffer eternal separation from God. And the law of God is what brings that about. Now, the next phrase in this is that where there is no law, there is no transgression. Nomos is the word for law, and it just means a law that is expressly given. Well, what was the law that was expressly given? The Ten Commandments. That was the law that was expressly given. Now, when we judge our behavior, our activity, based on those Ten Commandments, we find out that we're transgressors, that we have transgressed the law. And it's interesting that Paul uses the word transgression instead of sin in this particular context. Why? Because the word transgression is specifically a word that means a violation of the law. It's law breaking. So the law was given. We judge our behavior based on what the law says that we should do or shouldn't do, and we find out that we have transgressed the law. So without that law, there's not going to be a transgression of that law. That's as simple and as clear as this passage is. We don't need to read anything more into it than simply that. Where there's a law, then there's going to be a transgression of that law. When there's no law that exists, there's not going to be a transgression. That doesn't mean that sin wasn't in the world. Sin was already in the world. Now, the word sin is hamartia, which means to miss the mark, and it really means to miss the true end and scope of our lives. So we come into this world as sinners. What does that mean? That we're living out a different purpose than what God had for us all along. We were meant to reflect His glory, His image, out into this world. Well, we've missed the mark. We're living in sin. Well, Jesus has taken that away so that we could hit the target by faith. And the definition of sin, the best definition of sin in the New Testament, is found in Romans 14:23. Whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. So as a believer, can we sin? Yes, we can subject ourselves to the desires of the flesh, and we can live those out, not by faith, but through those selfish desires. So whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. That's what sin is in the New Testament. So when it says that without the law there is no transgression, he's talking about specifically violating a stated or an expressed law. And with that comes wrath. The law works wrath. Yeah. So God used the law to show us what our end would be apart from Jesus Christ, so that we could turn to Christ and receive new life in Him. So for the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression.
That is good news, Bob. Thanks for sharing. And friends, it's Hard Passages on this edition of Basic Gospel. And I want to remind you that we now have challenge grants and the amount of $30,000 to go toward the end of this month, our end of our fiscal year. So every dollar you give to support Basic Gospel is going to be doubled. So please, if you can, click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742, and we'll send you a copy of our new DVD, The Real You. That's 844-322-2742, or click donate online at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Our next passage for today is James 2:24, and it simply says this: you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Well, so many people are wondering, is James contradicting what Paul has already clearly taught in all of his letters, that we are justified by faith and by faith alone? Well, he's not contradicting Paul at all, and the context will bear this out. So what is the context? Well, in chapter 1 of the book of James, verse 22, he is saying that we need to be doers of the word. Jesus said something like that in the Sermon on the Mount, that we should hear the words of Christ and put them into practice. Anyone that does the will of God is the one that pleases God. Well, what is the will of God? To believe. So this word believe, this faith, is an active word. It's not a dead word. It's not a passive word. It's a word that is active in our day-to-day lives. Verse 17 of chapter 2 says this: faith without works is dead. That just gets to what I just said, that faith is a living word. Why? Because it's attached to the living one. Jesus Christ was raised. He's alive. He's living in us. He is the object of our faith. So as we are trusting him in day-to-day life, we're going to see this faith in him lived out in our day-to-day lives. We're going to see those works being manifested as a result of that trust relationship with Jesus Christ. He contrasts that to just mere intellectual assent. He says in verse 19 that even the demons believe and shudder. It's kind of interesting as you look through the gospel accounts, whenever Jesus encountered demons in individuals, they knew exactly who Jesus was.
Yes, right.
And every time they shuddered. Why? Because they knew that Jesus was Lord. They were never going to, you know, to trust that. They were going to continue to live in their independent state just as Satan is. But they knew exactly who Jesus was. They knew the facts. But faith is not just knowing the facts. It is living those facts out in day-to-day life. The gospel is a story. It's the story of Christ becoming one of us, dying in our place, being buried, being raised to life, being seated at the right hand of God the Father. And that story grabbing us up and making us a part of that story. And faith is what connects us to that story. And faith is what enables this new life to be lived out in us. And he gives two great examples in this particular chapter. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He did that in Genesis 15. And then in Genesis 22, he offered up Isaac as a sacrifice. So his belief that credited him to righteousness was lived out, carried out in the Genesis 22 story. He actually believed that God had the power to raise Isaac from the dead. And we see that belief lived out in that story. Rahab is another example. So what is this particular verse in James 2:24? It is the explanation, James's explanation, of Paul's words in Galatians 5:6. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. So what is real faith? It's a faith that is attached to the living Christ that expresses itself in love for others. That's what James is trying to get out in this important passage in James 2:24. 24. Bob, take it away.
Absolutely. Bob, thank you for those wonderful insights on this edition of Basic Gospel. Hard passages. And friends, if you have one you'd like us to address, just go online to basicgospel.net. And you can post it there through our Bob at basicgospel.net. 844-322-2742. You can post it there, or you can address us through the message section at on our base Basic Gospel Facebook page. So we encourage you to do that. We're out of time for this edition, everybody. We'll be back on Monday. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.